Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Hour number two of the show is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city as we spanning the globe to give you the best in sports coverage and entertainment. We're going to turn the page as we've covered a little out of XFL and UFC, and the next acronym on the list would probably be the NBA as we get into Rockets basketball.
I'll pass.
Talk show host Joel Blank.
That's exactly right. Let's go to voice. The expert that was at the ball game last night, Nick Sciarra, who was tweeting amongst the coverage that he gave us, along with outstanding video coverage in the locker room of Russell Westbrook's cuss-laden talking about how he handled Rudy Gobert. Nick, your thoughts on the game last evening in which the Rockets had another big lead. I would call any lead of 10 points or more, a double-digit lead, a fairly big lead, against the Utah team in a game that they needed. And you felt it slipping through their fingertips a little bit. Lo and behold, you didn't expect after P.J. Tucker hit a massive three in the corner that they would get beat by a Boron Bogdanovich three with Tucker and Harden trying to stop him at the buzzer.
Before I give you my thoughts, is it true that Bill Worrell said, for the win on the P.J. Tucker call?
True. God. It's also true that Floor Nyla, not to be confused with Air Jordan, my good friend and equipment manager, Tony Nyla, who, by the way, as I've told you, has hired more ball adults than any team in the league. Yes. He had to be a ball adult last night, and I don't think he wanted anybody to know, and I noticed all night he was running to get towels, he was handing out the warm-ups and stuff like that, and I'm like, bro, what are you doing? He's had hip replacement surgery. When PJ hit that corner three, I guess when you're on the floor and you're quote-unquote a ball person, you're allowed to just be a little kid again. He got his ass airborne, throwing a towel in the air, and he was right there when PJ hit the three, and he's like, that's my guy, heart and soul of the team. And little did he know that it wasn't going to be what Bill Worrell said.
It was a big
said,
shot, though.
It was a big shot. Bogdanovich hit the winning shot. Boy, it was a tough shot. But Heartbreak Hotel for the Houston
tough
Rockets.
Shot. Who was guarding Bogdanovich when he hit the shot? Was it the heart and soul of the team?
It was 50-50. It was a little bit of Tucker and a little bit of Harden.
Oh.
He almost looked like he got fouled on that shot, too. That's the bad thing about it. God, that must have hurt so bad.
He hit it over the has. Heart and soul. Hit it right over him.
I saw that you did that.
It was a has not.
Last night.
Look, it's a competitive team. I'll be honest with you. As much as we talk about the fan base in that state, there's a lot of likable players. I think we all can agree that we like Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, man.
I think Jordan Clarkson has shown that he can absolutely ball. I think Rudy Gobert is an absolute defensive star, although Westbrook kind of had his way yesterday. It was a competitive game. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest lead was 11 points. My problem with the way the Rockets played was at the end of each quarter, particularly the second, the third, and the fourth. If you look at the play-by-play rundown, you would see 6 or 7 minutes left in each quarter, and they would have a 9, 10, 11-point lead. And then somehow, some way, by the end of that quarter, that lead would be cut from 11 points to 2, 3, or 4 points. And I think, to me, closing out each quarter was a problem in this game. And I think the other part was Covington is still learning the system, mm-hmm. so he's a little bit delayed in reacting in what he's supposed to do. They still should have won that game. Super disappointing loss. They better get that one on the road against Utah in the next two games or so.
But that's my point, okay? My point is that when you look at this team and you look at the fact they were in control the entire game, as you mentioned, Nick, They basically had no business losing that game last night. But this is not the first time this has happened. So I started tweeting. And I'm not tweeting trying to get under Rockets fans' skin. I'm trying to give you an objective opinion, because a lot of times that's hard to get with Red Nation, about the fact that this is a problem that's been happening all year. And if you think it's bad in the regular season, you cannot have that happen in the playoffs, where you give up big leads, you look like you're in control only to lose. And if you let NBA teams hang around, I give you the Kings earlier in the year when the exact same scenario happened at home and Valencia hits the three to win that game.
What you're saying is not false at all, but I do have a question about your reasoning. Mm-hmm. It's specific to this game, because what you're saying about this defense and their struggles and giving up big, that's not false, and that's not wrong.
Not a pattern.
And Rocket fans need to chill. But in last night's game, you're facing the Utah Jazz, an upper echelon team in the NBA. Right. If the lead was never more than 11, and I would imagine that was for maybe a possession or two, if it's inside of 10, are you really choking away a big lead in the NBA if you're up by 9 for most of the game? I don't think so. 9 points, 5 points, like, that's 9 points
that's
in the NBA is
yesterday.
Nothing. So it's not like they choked away a 20 or a 30-point lead against the Utah Jazz. They never got further than 11 at one point from the Jazz. This was a close game. It's not like the Rockets blew this and blew a big lead. It was a close game the whole game, right?
Yeah, like I said, the biggest lead was 11 points.
So that wasn't for a quarter or two quarters of the whole game. Mm-mm. That was a moment.
My rebuttal to that is basically what Nick said. If it was one lead of double digits and it was close the rest of the way, I get it. But at the end of every quarter, it seemed that the same scenario played out. It was again and again and again, where you had control and you had a double digit lead, and then you let it slip away. You got control again and you had a double digit lead or close to it, and then you let it slip away again. And it happened 3 times in the course of the game. And the other thing that I had to deal with just the Kool-Aid drinking Rockets fans was,
well, leave them out of it for a second.
No, because I want to make a point. I want to make a point. Okay. That's fine. They kept saying, hey, that's a good Utah Jazz team, so that shouldn't be that big of a deal. Well, first of all, I said it's a pattern all year. But more importantly, that's the same Utah Jazz team basically at full strength, which was at full strength at home a week ago when you beat them without Harden and Westbrook and Capella. So that should tell you all you need to know. You manhandled them at home in Salt Lake City without your three best players at the time. And now you come home. You have your full complement. Obviously, you traded Capella, but you get a Covington in return that's been contributing, as you said, Nick, as he still gets used to the system, and you just crap the bed. You can't do that because was an important game last night.
You crap the bed last night. You think last night was crapping the bed?
Yeah, because it's a pattern that hasn't changed. It's giving up leads. And then you.
I don't think you've ever crapped the bed then.
Well, thank God. I mean, I was pretty quick on
you. You got beat by a Utah Jazz team on a last second shot.
Did you crap the bed against Phoenix?
I didn't. But they did.
Well, the pattern is, too, that since this move in small ball, they don't. And I said, I'll give them till after the All-Star break. Hopefully they figure it out more. But this is a formula that's not going to be successful in the playoffs. Right now, it's worrying me if it's going to be successful in the regular season. And that Utah game was huge.
I will say this. Look, Russell Westbrook came out strong. 17 yes. points in that first quarter. If James Harden just made 2 or 3 more three-pointers, this game might be completely...
He's been struggling for a little bit now. Russ has been carrying this team.
I don't feel like... And I tend to agree with you on Rockets games, but... And I didn't watch the game last night, so I can't comment from one point in the quarter to the end, but all I know is I can look at the game cast and see how far apart their lead was and when the Jazz had a lead and whatnot. And I can look at the scoring at the beginning, middle, and end of quarters, and I know what happened on the last second shot. That wasn't crapping the bed. That was just Utah coming in and making some adjustments and beating the team by one. It was a last-second buzzer beater where he was double-covered.
Sure. Right, but here's my point on that, too. Defensively...
Or double-teamed, not double-covered.
You need to be able to make adjustments on the fly so Jordan Clarkson doesn't get you for 30. So if Mitchell's the guy that's been scoring in the fourth quarter, that you clamp down on him, even if you have to double because you still have enough talent to be able to get out to the perimeter and stop the other guys that are on the Utah Jazz. You're a more talented team offensively, for sure, but the effort defensively, it's not changing. It's not getting better.
Well, we can agree on that, but I don't think your assessment of the game. We agree on the fact that they need to get better defensively. But you're making it sound like they lost by 40 and they were up by 40.
Right, but I'm saying they were. But
I mean, that's what the vibe you're giving off.
You're a playoff team, right? And you have aspirations of winning a title. You shouldn't be in a position.
So are the Jazz.
You shouldn't be in a position where you are constantly giving up leads, and I've said that all season long, that you have to start tuning it up at some point and realize that, especially when you're playing these type teams, and don't get me started on the fact that people said, well, because they're a good team, name another time that it's happened. Well, there was Golden State on Christmas Day, and there was the Suns, there was the Pelicans twice. There's all these different times, and so my point is that good teams don't do this repetitively within the same game.
Well, I think we all agree this isn't a good team.
Who? The Rockets or the Jazz?
No, they're not a great team. They're a good team. Great teams don't do that. Good teams do that. I thought you said great. They're not a great team yet. They're a good team. And this is what good teams do. They lose by one to the Jazz on a last-second shot at home. And because they could never pull away.
It's the way
That's
they
a
lost
good team versus a great
me
team.
It's the way they lost that bothers me.
Well, I guess,
the
I mean,
repetitively losing leads over and over throughout the course of the game. If the Lakers are going to get beat, they're going to go down 20, and that's it. But the Lakers are a team.
So that's what you'd rather be?
But the Lakers are not going to be a team that builds up a big lead, and the team comes back. And then they build up another big lead and let them come back again. And then build up another big lead and let them come back again and then lose it late. They'll learn their lesson within the game and make adjustments. I don't see the Rockets making adjustments.
If I recall, that Laker game was close until the last couple of minutes.
I'm not talking about the Lakers-Rockets game. I'm talking about the Lakers do as a team.
Okay.
To stop teams making runs, to stop players that are going off.
I'm not disagreeing with your premise. I'm just suggesting that in this game, I think you maybe are a little over the top on how bad it was. I agree with you about
the badness
defense
level. I'm just saying these are things that should have already been cleaned up, and in game they're not making any adjustments to try and clean them up to save games. Because every game's important right now, as you've pointed out in the standings, and they got to make sure that no matter what it takes at all costs, they need a home court advantage in the first round.
Mm, it's going to be tough, especially when you're of the eight teams that are in the playoffs. You're, I think, giving up the most points defensively. Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough.
Well, there you go. All right, so if you want to chime in here on the Rockets, 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number or hit us up on Twitter. We've got plenty more to get to, but if you want something to get off your chest that you've had on your mind, give us a call, text, or tweet. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the second hour of the show, we take you till 4 o'clock here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we run the gamut spanning the globe to give you the best in Houston sports coverage and so much more. As we were talking about the busy weekend in Houston sports, Rockets, XFL, UFC, tons of stuff going on. A lot of you have a lot of commentary on a lot of things, and we haven't really touched on a lot of football. But Philip Rivers made it official today. Oof. He's going to enter free agency, ending his run with the Chargers in a heartfelt post on social media. So he is out there, and he will test the market, and it'll be interesting to see if teams in need of a quarterback may take a look at Phil Rivers, big Philly style. And another interesting tidbit just coming out, the Minnesota Vikings hire as their senior defensive coordinator coach. Not actually the DC, but a senior defensive coach, Dom Capers, getting another job. Unbelievable.
Interesting.
Yeah, but very interesting. But Coops is there, so with Gary Kubiak there, Dom Capers gets another job.
Okay.
So information there out of the NFL as well. But I thought it was, you know, a little bit interesting to say the least that Philip Rivers, I thought he'd still have discussions with the Chargers, but it looks like, for all intents and purposes, that's over. That's done. And who's going to take a shot at him? A lot of people saying the Colts, saying if you want to have a great offensive line that keeps them upright,
yeah,
have weapons with T.Y. Hilton and you know, and all the young players they have on both sides of the football that can play, maybe that'd be a good landing spot for him. The biggest drawback is he's such a family guy. The whole family, he moved down to Florida. I don't know where you'd go when you
raise
go to Indy.
Raise a family in Indy?
Are the Colts a win now situation?
I don't know if it's
because to me that's what it. If you're gonna employ someone like Philip Rivers, you're in a win now situation, in my opinion.
Here's what I think the Colts are. The Colts and Lance would be a great guy to get on this because, of course, Lance's good friend is the GM Ballard. But when you look at the Colts and you say there is so much talent on that team, not at quarterback. And they made a commitment to Jacoby Brissett, but they also saw late in the year that it might be time to start thinking about other options at quarterback other than Jacoby Brissett. So until you can groom or find a young quarterback, the stopgap instead of Jacoby Brissett might be a veteran quarterback that could take this team to a higher level, at least win the division and get in the playoffs.
I mean, I don't think it's the dumbest idea. I just don't know, like, the team. For me, I think it has a lot to do with timing in terms of where Philip Rivers lands. Like, what is the quarterback situation for each particular team? Because you got to realize that at Philip Rivers' age that he's probably not good for more than, what, 3 seasons at the most?
Yeah.
Well, Barry, to be fair. I talked about this. He might not be good anymore. Unlike Brady, who has a little left in the tank, or some of these guys that still look like they can play a little bit, it's fallen off the cliff so fast for Philip Rivers, there's no guarantee he can play anymore.
I do think, the timeline is certainly escalated for a guy like Philip Rivers. He's got to be, to your point, in a win-now situation. But a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, they're usually not in that position. That's why they need quarterbacks. They need to start, like, a lot of teams that are in win-now rarely is it that they need a quarterback. They might need other things. Does that make sense? And right. I don't know that Indy is, to me, they don't seem like a win-now franchise. A couple of years ago, they were. And it was going to be interesting to see what they could do with Andrew Luck. But I don't know if Andrew Luck made the Colts that much better this year or not. I don't know. I'm not saying he would or wouldn't. I mean, obviously, he's better than Jacoby Brissett. So maybe Philip Rivers elevates that team to win this division.
Sure.
It ain't a hard division to win, that's for sure.
If you get him for 3 solid years, it's not a bad decision, right? Because you don't know how Marlon Mack would be as a running back in 3 years.
I mean, he's 38.
Yeah, you're not getting him for 3 years.
Okay, well then, I mean, that's just, for me, that's just, I don't know, maybe a 1 year or 2 year situation, maybe.
Well, here's the other question. Ask it from the Philip Rivers perspective. Are you playing just to continue playing? Or are you trying to get that one big thing that's you've been missing in your career, which is a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Because if you're going to play and you're just going to go to Tampa Bay, well, then you're also pretty much accepting your fate that you're never going to win the big one. But if you are playing really with the sole purpose of trying to erase the one knock on my career resume, which is I haven't, you know, gone deep into the playoffs and won a Super Bowl, then I don't think you're picking the Buccaneers or teams like that. The Colts have enough talent that you could say they might challenge some teams in the AFC. I don't know that you'd say that definitively they're going to compete for a title, but at least they're probably going to, they could get a playoff spot.
And you know what? Maybe I misspoke, because now that I think about it, teams that might be in a win now mode, there might be situations where that's all that they're missing. Like, for example, look at the Saints.
Sure.
If Drew Brees doesn't get a contract or walks or retires, if Teddy Bridgewater tests free agency and signs somewhere else, and Taysom Hill isn't the guy,
he's free.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill's free.
That's what I'm saying. If they're all 3 free agents. So if all 3 of them decide to go somewhere else or do something different, then the Saints are looking around going, damn, we got all this talent. We really just need a quarterback. Another example, the Tennessee Titans. If they don't believe Ryan Tannehill can get them over the hump to a Super Bowl, you know, victory or whatever, then maybe they go out and replace him with a Philip Rivers and say, maybe this is the difference. So you might be right. But I don't know if it's the Colts necessarily. But there could be situations where I think Philip Rivers for a 1 or 2 year deal, because he's probably going to give it to him guaranteed.
Ironically, the Saints are the closest to where he has relocated his family,
and I would
so that
go,
makes sense.
It might be a 3 year deal, but not guaranteed. It might be a 3 year deal with 2 guaranteed or something like that. And but I don't think you guarantee that 3rd year with
Philip
Rivers.
He had been linked when it first came out, he might not be a Charger anymore with Tennessee. But yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I think Phillip Rivers only continues to play if he plays with a chance to win, to put that last notch on his resume. And so, therefore, I think it's got to make sense football-wise with a team that can win, not just I'm going to extend my career a couple more years, up my stats a little bit, but hang on. That's just the way I see it. So, yeah, I mean, there are some interesting scenarios. And you know, the Florida aspect of it, at least you could stay in state and play for Tampa, but you're not going anywhere. So yeah. I think you're right. I think the scenarios you bring up are more realistic for him and for the team that would be getting him. Although, from a Tennessee perspective, I think they've seen enough of Tannehill to go, we probably should have another go-around with him.
You think that's the guy?
I think for them, they're going to say, at least for one more year, we're going to try it again.
Rivers' numbers, I was looking, because you said they fell off, and he actually had more passing yards this year. It's just his interceptions were way up.
I was
going to
say the picks were
That was the
bad.
Problem. But he threw for 300 more yards. Obviously, a lot more,
also,
almost 100 more attempts.
You also got to do that when you're playing from behind.
Yeah, also 100 more attempts and a lot less touchdowns. So, yeah. I mean, he's certainly trending down. It's now or never, I guess.
Absolutely. Where it's now or never for you is a chance to win here on ESPN. We always like to give back to the suspects, and it's time to do that right now. It's Mardi Gras Galveston time. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you to the annual Mardi Gras celebration. Galveston Island, February the 14th, Valentine's Day, begins two full weeks of parades, balcony parties, food concerts, and 3 million beads. Caller 12 right now, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. You win a pair of tickets for any day to enjoy the fun. Visit Mardi Gras Galveston. com for more details and ticket information. But right now, you get a chance to win two tickets. Caller 12. Good luck. We'll come back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
'90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. Really covering a lot of different things.
By the way, when you said Monday in the big city, it reminded me. I was driving to the station last week laughing my ass off because I passed a billboard for the Monster Truck show.
Oh.
And all I could hear was Joel in my head, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. I immediately started laughing because you do the monster truck guy.
A lot of people went to that this weekend.
Did they?
Yeah, I saw a lot of people posting pictures on Facebook and Twitter, and that was kind of a big deal.
That's where we're at now in Houston. XFL and monster trucks. Okay. That's what we're doing now.
It's the Redneck Sports Federation.
I was going to say, what are we, like Dallas? What's going on here? Why are we so? Are we sure that it's not
one
the,
of the trucks had like you know how you have
the XFL Houston Rednecks? What's
you know the Raiders guy that has the shoulder pads with the metal spikes coming off of them?
Uh huh.
There was a truck that had a mohawk of those spikes, and then it went upside down, and I was like, oh, that truck's not spinning, right? It's going to get stuck in the dirt.
I was going to say, did it just plant like a lawn dart?
It kind of started to roll, then it started to go back. I was like, see, that's you never know with those things. They can turn over.
One big projectile lawn dart or
something.
A couple texts from the text line. So we'll get to Demetrius's text because there is a topic we need to talk about. Did you see where that pitcher is suing the Astros?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that, Demetrius, I promise.
Wait, tell me, did we see it when our executive producer sent it to us 14 times?
We did. Somebody said, of course Houston's excited for the Roughnecks. Houston finally has a coach and a team to stand behind. Some real football in Houston. Yeah. I mean, you want me to argue with you? I'm not arguing with you. I'd rather go and watch a Roughneck game than a Texan game. That's where I'm at. And I hope that's where the rest of the city is at. I would rather see 60,000 people at an XFL Roughneck game than a Texan game at this point, until Bill O'Brien's gone.
Well, it's because you're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, well, go Chiefs Nation, baby. Lifelong. Hey, guys, what are the odds that... Nope, wrong show. Not even reading the rest of that.
By the way, they don't call it Chiefs Nation. If you're a true Chiefs fan, you call it Chiefs Kingdom.
Get it right, bro.
You don't get even... it straight if you're going to be a true, quote-unquote, sorry, quote-unquote, air quotes, true Chiefs fan.
I didn't know that, but I'm not a Chiefs fan.
So. Kingdom. Get it straight. Now you may move on.
I mean...
You don't He's like, my bad. I'll get it next time.
Don't tell me how to fan, bro.
Okay.
Well, don't tell me how to fan, bro.
Okay, Rocco. You're going to be the Robert Covington. You're a fan, but it's going to take you some time to learn the system.
I do what I want to do for Chiefs Nation. I bet on Chris Householder. All right. First of all, bro, you're betting on the Roughnecks already? Too soon. I bet on the Roughnecks -6-1, so I love the XFL.
What are you talking about too soon? I heard Fred and AJ try to break it down and get edges to who you should bet on if you're going to bet.
AJ didn't bet. I asked him, did you bet on the XFL? He goes, no, I'm not betting on the XFL. Fred did.
But they were breaking it down. But here's the crazy thing.
I'm not betting on the XFL. You crazy. There's no data.
The two favorites got their asses stomped
this
weekend.
Yes, because there's no data.
That were favored to win the whole thing.
Yeah. Like I said, there's
Roughnecks
no data.
Did their part. They were like third or fourth on the list, and they won.
Y'all know me. I need numbers. I need historical data to help me base my decisions. I felt like I was watching the movie The Replacements, watching the Roughnecks. Same uniforms, too. Where was Keanu Reeves?
At the Oscars.
Okay.
I saw him.
Just my opinion, Rivers seems like a solid fit for Arians in Tampa. They have a lot of weapons, and if Winston can do well, I'm sure he could, too. But yeah, to Joel's point,
are they
a Philip Rivers away? Right. You were mentioning when we were talking about the XFL, you said that the chick in the booth, the replay booth, wasn't dressed all well.
If you're going to be on TV, you probably should be more than just jeans and a T-shirt. And,
so I said, Barry dresses like bleep on TV every Sunday night.
Ouch.
Bro, I wear a sport coat and a T-shirt. And, you know, I was going to say something about his mama, but I'm going to take the high road because I don't know this person.
Did you delete that text?
And I don't know how sensitive they are about their mama, but I'm getting to the point where if you're going to start taking shots at me on the text line, get ready for mama jokes and whatnot, because this is going to be a two-way street. I'm not just going to read your stupid little text and giggle, and then we move on. From now on, this is the starting point. If you text something mean about me, I'm making a mama joke. Just know that going forward, if you text something nasty, You're subject to a mama joke. Just let it be known.
You make a good point,
though. Let it be known.
These people sometimes, and then, it's either they're having a bad day or they're driving on I-10 and they can't wait to go, yeah. Got him! Got him there!
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Well, instead of getting angry, I'm just going to start just roasting you guys like you try to roast us.
Was it Stacy that we got from Detroit when he didn't expect the smoke he got in return when he tried to call me all kinds of names and couldn't tell our voices apart. Like everybody else piled on. I was like, well, you got to be careful that our executive producers get sensitive too when they hear these things.
That's
and
true.
They will attack.
So did you see this story about this Mike Bolsinger lawsuit against the Astros?
This is a big deal. Like people posting his stats now and saying that.
So what
the
were
Astros
they?
Did. So the bottom line is that he's basically saying his career was ended by the sign stealing scandal of the Astros. And because they did what they did, however they did it, that it was his last game pitching in the majors, I believe. And that he got lit up for some ungodly amount of runs in that game and in one inning and that it cost him. But, you know, it's just. I can try and find all the different people that have sent me his stats, but at the same time, he wasn't very good before, and obviously he came out of that one not looking very good after, but I think that the body of work on his resume told you he wasn't going anywhere either way, and now he's trying to cash in.
Yeah, I would like to see...
I'm going to look it up.
...the splits, the befores and afters and all that, and I looked at the article, and it said... Bolsinger was sent to AAA after the game and never called up to the big leagues again after he played the Astros. After the season, no team was interested in signing him, so he played in Japan in 2018 and 2019. So he's saying he basically got kicked out of the league because of the Astros.
His last game, in the game against the Astros, he faced 8 batters. He got 1 out.
Oh, here goes. Adams' research showed that the Astros banged on the trash can 54 times during an August 4 game and the Blue Jays in which Bolsinger pitched. That was the most bangs of the season for the Astros. Remember, I told you about this game. That was the 16-run game. It was also a particularly bad outing for Bolsinger, who gave up four runs on four hits and only got one out against the Astros that day. Okay, but have you never not had a game like that? I would be interested to see in his career. Has he ever given up?
He had a 5.50 ERA in 2014.
Okay.
He returned to the bigs in 2016 when he had a 6.83 ERA.
Oh.
Then he pitched against Houston in 2017 and finished with a 6.31 earned run average. Seems to be pretty consistent.
Yeah, consistently bad, Mike.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Go suck it somewhere else, bro. You're not you're this is stupid.
Here it is.
I will tell you this. This isn't the end of it. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail I can't yet.
Okay.
But our buddy, friend of the show, friend of the station, Radu Bandar, he and I had a discussion, and I think he's got some things in the works.
He does, yeah.
And he's got some sources and some other things. And he basically said, listen, Astros are going to get sued by a lot of different people and entities, and it's coming. So all I can say, but stay tuned and, you know, go follow Radu on Twitter, because when this breaks, it's going to be big. And I think he's working on something really big. But this isn't just the beginning. There's a lot more other news, a lot more stuff that's going to drop that's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I've told you guys, my insiders have said, look, for as much as you're puffing out your chest, if you're in L.A. or, you know, with the Yankees or whoever, don't puff too hard yet, because this is a bigger deal from that regard as well, too. And here's the other thing. With pitchers and catchers reporting and a lot of position players going down there now, it's one of the first questions that everyone's going to ask every player on every team. So every day you're going to hear someone else chime in. Tanaka of the Yankees chimed in today about how slighted he feels about a World Series that was taken from him because of the Astros. It's not going away anytime soon. It's only going to continue to get more and more prevalent as baseball season gets closer.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
And here's your numbers, Barry. Career record for Mike Bolsinger, 8-19 over 4 years. Mm.
Yeah, they definitely are the reason he sucked.
2014 with no games against the Astros, 5.50. 2015, no ERA against the Astros, but I don't believe any big league appearances either, 3.62. 2016 with no games against the Astros, 6.83. 2017, two games against the Astros, 6.31. You were consistently inconsistent, Chief.
And you were consistently bad. Yeah.
Yes. So, good luck with that. But it's, yeah, like you said, it's not going to be the last we hear about all this. Tanaka was all over it. He got cheated out of a championship.
No,
you know why this sucks? It's because all these lawsuits and stuff is going to come out, and there's going to be a huge percentage of these people that are just trying to ride this train and see if they can benefit from this when they know their career wasn't impacted that much by the Astros. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean,
it's just like in anything else. If people see a way to capitalize financially, they're going to pounce. It doesn't matter. It's like when Kobe was killed in the helicopter crash, and people were just either looking for clicks or looking to cash in by selling bracelets and other things with 24 and 2 on them and things like that, and not donating all the proceeds to Kobe's charity or something like that. It's just the way the world, unfortunately, rolls sometimes. Mm. So. All right, we're rolling through hour number 2 of the 3-hour show, so still over an hour to go. That means plenty of opportunities for you to join us. 713-780-3776, that's our HRNP listener line. You can call, text, or you can also hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com. Or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Monday, did you watch the Oscars last night?
I did not.
Okay. Lot of interesting things.
I did see where Brad Pitt took a shot at the whole impeachment process.
He did. That was one of the things that was prevalent, was when people came up to accept their awards, including Best Actor Joaquin Phoenix for The Joker. And, she's from Katie. She won for playing Judy Garland.
Lizzo.
No.
Every time somebody's from Houston, I just say Lizzo now.
I'll remember. But Renee Zellweger. Their acceptance speeches went forever.
Did they?
And both got very kind of into people being better people and all this other stuff. But along the way, I thought one of the really cool things, and it was crazy because you saw some of the reactions in the crowd, but they were talking about songs that, and someone made the quote, and I want to say it was one of the famous people in movies. It was John Hughes or somebody that said, you know, you have an iconic connection when you can't have the movie without the song or the song without the movie. Like, Don't You Forget About Me from The Breakfast Club.
Right.
So they did, because there was no host, they looked for these little filler pieces between awards to be given away.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was the iconic songs in movies and that connection between song and movie. And they finished with 8 Mile and they finished with Eminem. And everybody was like, because he had mentioned The Breakfast Club and some of the other ones, you thought that it might be that. And then all of a sudden, this mass, the big video screen, which was the backdrop, pops up with a cassette tape and it starts to roll. And all of a sudden, you hear, doon, 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 doon,
doon. Oh, yeah?
And up pops a guy that you're not sure who it is, because it's a black baseball hat, black, very dark-haired, black-haired, beard. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, after a couple of bars, you realize, holy, that's Eminem. And he went out, and he killed it. But to see, like, Billie Eilish and some of these people, like, making faces like they were constipated, like they didn't know who it was and what the hell was this originally when it first started, it was like, God, if you aren't well-versed in this. But then when he kicked it into gear, the entire audience was singing it. It was awesome. And then he was very cool because he was tweeting, but they said that they thought that they weren't sure how people were going to react. So it was one of those deals where it was a complete secrecy. Everyone was sworn to secrecy. Like, you know how they do rehearsals and things?
Right.
It wasn't on the rehearsal. There was no mention of it. There was no indication he was going to be there. And it was a complete surprise to everyone involved in the production, too, which was very cool. And then afterwards, he was tweeting pictures with Elton John, saying my uncle Elton John, because they've been close, I guess, for a long time. But he even said 18 years in the making, because when he won for best song in a motion picture, he refused to perform 18 years ago.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like basically it took him 18 years to perform, but I thought it was badass.
So that's what they said was the best song of all time for a movie?
No, not all time. Just the fact that he actually came and performed. Right. It was very, very cool.
Which song do you think is the most iconic song to represent a movie or be associated with a movie?
I mean, there's several. I think one that you can't turn your cheek to is the Rocky theme.
But that was going to be my answer.
Yeah. I just don't I mean, some people might say Star Wars. Or things like that.
That's a good one, too.
But I just don't think you can. Everybody knows
now,
the minute you hear that trumpet.
Eye of the Tiger or just the Rocky theme?
The original Rocky theme. You hear that trumpet go with the. Let me do the mouth trumpet for you again.
No, thank you.
I thought you would pick a song from like the Grease soundtrack.
The Grease soundtrack.
Grease Lightning, no. But I do think Rocky's the most iconic song and movie of all time.
What about, because remember now, like Wizard of Oz? What was it? What songs were from The Wizard of Oz? Was it like Follow the Yellow Brick Road or something?
Yellow Brick Road and Off to See the Wizard.
Oh, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, right?
I don't know if that's from Wizard of Oz.
I think so. Isn't it?
I don't think so.
Over the Rainbow.
Yeah.
By Judy Garland.
Yes.
Which Renee Zellweger played to win the Oscar.
Ah, see?
There you go. Way to bring it all back, Barry, without knowing you were doing it.
No, I planned that. I'm so good.
They also brought up Rainbow Connection in the Muppet movie. I was like, I don't think a lot of people are going to even think of that as a motion picture.
Rainbow Connection.
Someday we'll find it.
Oh.
Kermit the Frog and the Rainbow Connection. They brought that up as part of it.
Really?
Yep. Hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't watch. I don't know why, but I don't care about the Oscars all that much. I did see where Joaquin Phoenix won for the Joker.
Oh, man. If anybody
deservedly
else won,
so.
No question.
I only watched a portion of it on the way back in flight. Now I'm so mad that I started watching it in the middle of the movie.
Oh, it's
such a good movie.
Yeah.
That dude was insane.
Yeah.
He just, and you can tell without even being told this, but they say he engages so intently on any character that he plays that you just know he's going to do a good job. So, I mean, and Parasite, by the way, won Best Picture.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a foreign picture.
Okay. Oh, no wonder I don't know what it is.
some people losing their bleeping minds because of the fact that an American movie didn't win. Get over it, people.
Wait. Some people are upset that an American movie didn't win Best Foreign Film?
No, Best Picture, period.
Oh.
It was Best Picture for the last award of the night.
Oh. Yeah. And they were upset because it was – I thought you meant it won Best Foreign Film. It won Best Picture.
Over Joker, Marriage Story, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Once Upon a Time. Everybody thought because sweeping the other – I think it swept all the other awards shows was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Tarantino film with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio.
I heard that Jojo Rabbit is really good.
A lot of people talk very highly about
that
as well.
It looks funny and looks good, yeah.
1917 was in that mix as well. Ford versus Ferrari, Little Women, but Parasite won. And the guy behind it needed an interpreter, and people were ripping on that. And then
this
even
is America. If you can't speak English, you can't accept no awards, man. These are American awards, and you better if you can't read the label in English. What good is it to you, man?
It was really cool.
Go back to where your Parasite came from.
The guy's name is Bong Joon-ho.
What'd
he also won Best Director.
Bro, I thought we said we were just going to keep it civil from now on.
We are.
Okay. Yeah. You Bong Joon-ho.
Well, you know what? I don't know who's bonging what or whatever, but Bong Joon-ho through the interpreter.
What did y'all say about a bong? What?
It was very cool with Scorsese sitting in the audience for him to say, like, when I was a kid, I watched Scorsese films just hoping I could someday be like him, and now I'm in the same room with him and in the same category. So there were some cool moments.
I did see where Brad Pitt in his acceptance speech said something to the effect of, I'm glad Quentin Tarantino is around. He makes Hollywood better.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this the same dude that always puts a chick, like, writes his own foot fetish scenes into his movies? How is that making Hollywood better? That's creepy AF, bro. If you're able to write your own toe-sucking scene, because that's what you're into a movie, and then you're like, hey, you know what would be cool is if I wrote a whole movie so I could suck Selma Hayek's toes one day.
I mean,
that's
obviously
creepy, bro.
It's creepy, but he obviously is one of the greats. I mean, his resume speaks for itself.
So is Harvey Weinstein. Look at all these different movies that entertain people that knocked it out of the park.
I just don't know if I'm on board with thinking that Quentin Tarantino's a great guy because he writes all these creepy foot fetish scenes into his movies to satisfy his own perversion.
Okay, so what if you had a best friend or a good friend?
Okay. I'm not sucking his toes. Okay.
Louis C.K. is his boy.
No, you put that. Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
So A.J. Hoffman loves you, and he keeps giving you jobs.
Okay.
But as part of what he does, he works in different things within the programming day that pleases
you. You know what I'm going to come out and say? Thanks for the work, AJ, but I'm not going to say you make Hollywood better. Fair enough?
Not fair enough. It's your opinion, okay?
No, I mean, he doesn't. He's creepy, bro. I'm not saying what he's doing is across the line, but it's, no pun intended, tiptoeing it.
Got it.
I said no pun intended.
It doesn't matter. You say that a lot just to say the one that's pun intended. All right, second hour of the show is in the books. That means 60 still to go. 1 hour on the clock when we come back. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.